quote in the Talmud Yerushalmi that I'm sure many of us have heard, and that is, Hamaskel b'mitzvah, somebody who begins to be involved in a particular mitzvah, Omrim lo gimor. We tell that person, we encourage them that they should complete the mitzvah, they should finish it. Now, in truth, Rashi in our parsha learns this concept from a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. The pasuk says in our parsha, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, any mitzvah that I have instructed you to perform, tishmurun la'asos, you should be careful to fulfill it. Says Rashi on that pasuk in our parsha, im hischalta mitzvah, if you begin to be involved, to be engaged in a mitzvah, gimarosa, you should make sure that you finish it. She'ein ha-mitzvah nikres ela al-shem gomra, because the mitzvah goes down as the one who completes it. That's the one who gets the credit for it. And therefore, says Rashi in our parsha, a person should be careful that whenever you begin to get involved in a mitzvah, you should make sure to carry it through and finish off the mitzvah as well. So the Rishonim ask on this week's parsha, where does Rashi see that comment? Where do you see that in the parsha? It says, Kol ha-mitzvah asher tishmarun la'asos, you should make sure to do it. Where do you see that you have to finish it as well? Maybe it just means any mitzvah that comes to you, you should begin. So the Rishonim say it's because the pasuk begins and it says, Kol ha-mitzvah, which means perhaps the entirety of the mitzvah, from beginning to end, a person should make sure, tishmarun la'asos. Now this idea is something that the Gemara discusses as well, and it's a concept that's learned out from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara tells us in Masechah Sota that on the occasion of the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim, we know there was a very specific mitzvah that was given on that time of Bizas Mitzrayim. They were supposed to go around, V'yishalu ish me'es re'eu v'isha me'es re'usa. Each one had to knock on the neighbor's door and ask them for clay kesef and clay zahav, to ask them for all kinds of jewelry before they left. So says the Gemara, Kama chaviva mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how much Moshe Rabbeinu appreciated the opportunity that he had to perform mitzvos. How do we know? Shekol Yisrael kula nisasku bebiza. At the time that all the Jewish people were running around the Egyptian homes and taking all the spoils, hu nisasik bemitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu is running around and doing something not the same as what they're doing. He's doing a mitzvah and they're all going around and just ingratiating themselves with everything that was to take before they left Mitzrayim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu busy doing? So the Gemara tells us that the Jewish people made a promise that they're going to take out Yosef HaTzadik's body and bury it in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt, before we leave, somebody has to make sure that we take care of that promise. So Moshe Rabbeinu is starting to look around at that time to find the bones, to find the burial place of Yosef HaTzadik in order that he can bring it back with them to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, all those years that they were traveling through the desert in the Midbar, Yosef's body was traveling along with the Mishkan, with the Aron, and it looked very strange. Anyone who passed by said, why are there two Aronos next to each other? Why are there two boxes? What do the two boxes represent? So the Jewish people responded, well, one of them is Yosef HaTzadik, and one of them is the Sefer Torah, one of them is the Mishkan, one of them is the Shechina. Ask the innocent bystander who's looking on, it says, does that make sense? You take a dead body and you put it right next to the Shechina, how could it be that those two go together? So the Gemara answers, since Yosef HaTzadik was somebody who embodied, who represented, and who was able to stand for everything that the Torah itself stood for, therefore it makes sense that Yosef's body is put right next to the Aron, nothing strange about it at all. And that's the way they traveled throughout the duration of the Midbar. Now says the Gemara, we have a major problem. Why? Because one pasuk seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was busy with the Atzmos Yosef. It says that Bayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef imo, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who did this mitzvah. He's the one who got the bones of Yosef HaTzadik and traveled with them. But then it says, es Atzmos Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Another pasuk says that the Jewish people took the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. So which one was it? Was it Moshe Rabbeinu or was it the Jewish people? Now if I was asked the question, I would have said it was Moshe Rabbeinu representing the entire Jewish people. There's no question. But here the Gemara says that doesn't seem to be the right answer. The Gemara says there's something more hidden behind these words. One pasuk seems to say it was Moshe Rabbeinu, but then later the credit goes to the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Chama b'Rab Chanina, the answer is, Kala Ose Davar v'lo Gemaro. Somebody who starts to be involved in a mitzvah, but doesn't have the opportunity to finish it, Uba Achar v'Gamara, and somebody else comes along and picks up where you left off, Mala Alav HaKosev Al Shagamro Ki'ilu Aso. He or she who finished off that mitzvah is going to get the credit, and we totally disregard the involvement of the first one. And therefore, over here, although Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who went out of his way to try and get the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim, and he's the one who was doing it at the time when all the Jewish people were busy doing other things, still the credit goes not to Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather to the rest of the Jewish people, Because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to complete it. He didn't finish the job. He gave it off to somebody else. And because of that, it's as if they did it themselves. Now, this is an important halacha in general in Choshen Mishpat. We know that when a shidduch is made, and that means not only a shidduch when two people get married, but it means even in business, when you make some sort of what the halacha calls a sarsur, when you have somebody who's the go-between. Let's say you introduce somebody to another businessman, and because of that, they're able to do some sort of deal together. You are entitled to a certain amount of money. Question how much you're entitled to, but whatever the assumed rate is, that's something that's not just a nice thing to do. That's something you're absolutely obligated to do. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses this, and our assumption is that you have to pay money because you owe money to that person for enhancing your life in some way. Either it means by getting the couple together, or it means by getting the two business partners together, or making the deal. You are owed a certain amount of money. Now, says the Torah Tamima, what happens when you have a situation where one person starts to make the negotiation? Let's say one person makes the first phone call to the boy or to the girl. They set up the first date, but then there's major complications along the way, way above the head of the original shadchan, and they send it off to somebody else. And along the way, the person who really made the shidduch happen is somebody else. It's not the original one who had suggested the idea. Says the Torah Tamima, maybe we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that, yes, you are obligated to pay money to the one who set up the shidduch, to the one who had the idea, but maybe the one who you're obligated to give the money to is only the one who completed it, the one who finished the job. After all, the pasuk says here, Moshe Rabbeinu starts off in the mitzvah, but he gets no credit because he didn't complete it. So maybe all the credit goes to the one who finishes off the deal, the one who makes sure that it happens, that it's complete, and no credit is due to the one who originally was involved. That is what the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Yerodeya, that maybe we should assume that that is correct. And Rav Moshe Feinstein rejects that, and he says, we know that that's not the case, because he said, this is not like a regular mitzvah. This is something where you know there are so many moving pieces, so many components that are involved in a shidduch, in a deal being made, and each one of them is deserving of something. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, if you have somebody who begins the deal, somebody who begins the shidduch, makes the first phone call, sets it up originally, and then later on somebody else picks it up, obviously both of them would get the credit, and we have to figure out exactly how you split up the money that's due to the person in between. But certainly Rav Moshe comes to the conclusion that both of them are entitled to get something, because we don't just say that over here, Hamaskel Mitzvah Omer Lo Gemar, we tell you to finish, but if you don't finish, you get no credit. Rav Moshe says here, you certainly would get some sort of credit, and you are deserving of a certain amount of money. Now, this concept of beginning a mitzvah and making sure to complete it shows up in Shulchan Aruch in a few places. One is, let's say, in Hilchos Chanukah. So the Mechaber writes that really, it's the job of the Chazan, whoever's davening on that particular night of Chanukah, it's the job of the Chazan to be the one to light the Chanukah candles. So after you daven Mincha, now you're going to light the candles, then you go ahead and you daven Ma'ariv, whatever it's going to be. So he says that's really the job of the Chazan. However, in many shuls, people are in a rush, and therefore they don't want to wait until the Chazan, the eighth night of Chanukah, is going to sit there and light each one. Maybe he has yartzeit and he goes very slowly up the steps, down the steps. It takes him a long time until he figures out how to light it. So in a situation like that, says the Mechaber, you're allowed to hand it off to somebody else to do it. However, the Mishneh Berurah points out, if all things are equal, if the tzibur is not in a rush, if they're not trying to get to Ma'ariv quickly, then he says really the proper thing to do is that the Chazan himself should begin to light the candles and should complete the entire mitzvah, because Hamaskel b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. It comes up as well in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So there the Mechaber says that let's say you have some very talented personality who knows not only how to be a Chazan, but also a person who knows how to be the Baal Tokeya. So you have such a person, and the question is, they want to be the Baal Tokeya while they're davening Musa for the Yamid as well on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mechaber says, look, it's not a good idea to have the person do the Tkios in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, because you're going to get all confused. You're not going to remember where you're up to in the Chazaras Hashatz, and therefore he says it's a better idea that you have one person who's going to blow the shofar, and somebody else who's going to go ahead and be the Chazan. Okay, but what about the tekiyos that we blow before the Chazaras Hashatz? What about the tekiyos that we blow before Shemona Esrei? So there he says, well, the proper practice is whoever gets to do those tekiyos should really do the entire tekiyos, because we have this concept of Hamaskel b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. Whoever begins the process of the mitzvah should finish it off. Now the problem with all this is, it would seem to be a major problem, that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim that we have a concept of Berov Am Hadras Melech, which means the more people that are engaged, that are involved in a particular mitzvah, the greater enhancement of a mitzvah that it is. So therefore, says the Gemara, for example, in Daf Samach Dalet in Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara says that you had on Erev Pesach millions of Jews coming to offer Karban Pesach, and everybody's storming the Beis HaMikdash. So they made a big seder, they made a line, and they said, Berov HaMadras Melech, you're going to have one person who's going to shech the animal, another person's going to go and accept the blood that comes out of the neck of the animal, then he's going to pass it to the next Kohen, who's going to pass it to the next one, they're going to keep on going down the line, and the last one is going to pour it onto the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, that's a wonderful enhancement of a mitzvah, because Berov HaMadras Melech. So Rabbi Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna asks, isn't that against this concept? Why shouldn't we say HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar? Whoever started, whoever was the one to accept the blood and do the original mitzvah, should finish it off and run to the Mizbeach, do it himself. Why are you handing it off to other people? So when do you draw the line, asks Rabbi Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna, between number one, Berov HaMadras Melech, it's wonderful to involve and engage more people, and when do you say HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar? Maybe if you're the one who started, you should be the one to finish, but that's going to take away from Berov HaMadras Melech. So that's a difficult question to answer. How do you figure out where we draw the line between these two concepts? But this is something that would seem to pose an issue with regard to the halacha that we're discussing here. The Rama writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, a very important halacha, and that is, Yesh Mekomos Nagim, there are some communities that have the practice, Shamispalo Slichos, that somebody who is designated to be the chazan for the Slichos, Yispalel Kol Hayom. You should be the one to also be the chazan for all of the tefilos of that day. Now, says the Magen Avraham, what do we mean, all of the tefilos of that day? So the Magen Avraham says it means not only the shachris that's going to come immediately after the slichos, but also the mincha later on, and ma'ariv as well. Why, says the Magen Avraham? Because HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar. Whoever begins the mitzvah, and since you were the one who was designated to say the slichos, therefore you should be the one to finish off and be the chazan for the rest of the tefilos of that day as well. Says the Magen Avraham, you would override even an avel. You would override even, let's say you have a special chazan who comes to daven the first night of slichos, and everyone's very excited about it. He's the one who's going to daven shachris also, even if there's an avel in the room who's a real chiyuv. Says the Magen Avraham, this concept trumps the place of an avel, and we would say that the chazan is the one who has the right to finish off all the rest of the tefilos. Now, number one, what exactly does the Magen Avraham mean when he says you're even supposed to allow that chazan to daven ma'ariv? Which ma'ariv are we talking about? Ma'ariv the night before? How can you say HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar? You didn't start the mitzvah yet. You're only going to do it tomorrow morning, so it doesn't go retroactively. What are you going to say? The ma'ariv the night after? That's a whole different day. It's a separate mitzvah of tefillah. So what does that have to do with today? So this is very problematic. How exactly do we figure out what the Magen Avraham means to tell us here? HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar, whoever starts the mitzvah and daven slichas for the yamid is supposed to finish it, and therefore we say he should daven not only the slichas for the yamid, but he should also daven shachris for the yamid, he should daven mincha and ma'ariv. Why should he daven ma'ariv the next night? That's a very problematic halacha, and many are trying to figure out what exactly the Magen Avraham means by that. But Rabbi Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna says the whole thing is a mistake. The Magen Avraham is not correct when he says that the reason why we encourage the one to daven slichos to also daven the rest of the tefillos, it has nothing to do with HaMaschal B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar. Nothing at all to do with the concept from our parsha. Rather, it's from a totally different place. And that is, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma Daf Chaf Beis the following. There were many different jobs that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash every day. One of the jobs was to be the garbage man, so to speak. The Chumas HaDeshen, you had to clean off the Mizbeach. Not such an exciting job. You're the one who's sweeping off the Mizbeach, cleaning it off, and getting it ready for the next day. So the Gemara says, whoever got the job of doing the Chumas HaDeshen also had the ability to do the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, had the ability to put up all the logs in the Mizbeach and to set it up beautifully for a new day of Avod. Says the Gemara, why is that? Why don't you give out the job to different people? The Gemara says, because the truth is, Chumas HaDeshen was a job not everybody would want to do. Because who wants to be designated as the garbage man? Who wants to be the one sweeping off the Mizbeach? That's not such a nice job. So the Gemara says, since that's the perspective of Kohanim, nobody really wants to do the job, therefore we're going to reward whoever takes the job. We're going to give you something else to do also, which is a very prestigious job. We're going to have you set up the Mizbeach for the next day as well, which is a very special job in the Beis HaMikdash. So too over here, says Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna, it's not such a special job to be the one to say the slichos. After all, we know the words in the slichos are very hard, it's not so easy to get through it, and people are rushing you, and everybody's tired, and nobody's really interested. To be the chazan for the slichos is not so exciting for everybody. Therefore, says the Binyan Shlomo, he says the answer is, you know what we're going to do? We're going to encourage somebody to daven slichas for the yamid by telling them we're going to throw you a bone. What we're going to do is we're going to tell you you're also the chazan for shachris, mincha, and ma'ir. We're going to give you everything, whatever you want, because this way we're going to get a good chazan for slichas if you know that you're going to have something to bank on that they won't want to back out of being the chazan for the slichas. So that's the idea that he suggests as to why we assume that by slichas we give this opportunity to the person not only to daven for the yamid slichas, but also to daven for the Yamud after that as well, because we want to give them something extra for the Mesiras Nefesh that they're doing. Let's just close. There's a comment made by Rav Shlomo Fisher. I was always very taken by the comment, where he writes that on Chanukah he had a major question, and that is, we say in Chanukah in the davening, Bimei Matasyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we say Matasyo goes down as the hero. He's the one who fought the war, Rabbi Mian Beatim, but he says the truth is, if you look in history, Matasyo died immediately. He wasn't the one who fought the war. He wasn't around when the war was being fought. The whole war was finished off by his children. So why don't we say in history, we should say, Bimei Yehuda ben Matasyo Kohen Gadol. It was in the days of the children of Matasyo that everything went ahead and they won the war and there was a tremendous Yeshua and they were the ones who were responsible for it. Why does Matasyo get the credit? Why don't we say, like the Gemara just taught us, somebody who finishes off the mitzvah gets the credit as opposed to the one who started. Yes, it's true, Matasyo started the war, but he didn't finish it off. So in history, it should go down that his children were responsible for the miracle and not him. The answer that he gives is a very beautiful one. Sorry, it's not Rav Shlomo Fisher, it's the other Rav Fisher, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher. I think he's a brother of his. So he said the answer is as follows. The only time we say that when someone else finishes off a mitzvah, you lose the credit, that's only when it's somebody else. But when it's one's children, so that's what the Gemara says, Bram Zaka Abba, we know that children, if they were encouraged by their parents to go in a certain path, and they were encouraged by their parents to perform mitzvahs and to do wonderful things in their lives, that credit goes to the parents. And therefore, says Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the answer here is, yes, Matasyo Kohen Gadol started off the Melchama, and Matasyo got everything going, and he wasn't able to finish, but after all, his children were the ones who finished. And all that credit goes back to their parents. And that's why, for all eternity, we go down in history as not the miracle of Yehuda and all the children of Matasyo, but rather as the miracle of Matasyo Kohen Gadol himself, because after all, he got the whole ball rolling, he got everything started, he encouraged his children to go along in such a path and to follow in his ways, and because of that, all of the credit goes to him as well, which is an important concept to think about. Whatever we accomplish in our own lives is whatever it is, but if we are mechanech others, if we encourage others to follow in the proper path and to do the proper thing, we can continue to have schusim even after we are no longer able to accumulate, to accrue schusim for ourselves, like the Gemara tells us in Maseches Baba Basra that Bram is Aka Abba. A child always has the ability to give one extra schus to the parents because, after all, even if the parents aren't here, but since they encourage the children and they raise them to do the things that they're doing, that's something that will be a tremendous schus for those parents.